This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, we're live. All right, so lots of things going on today. Hope you're off to a good start. Hope your day has begun. Yes, breathing is important. Take a big, deep breath. Go. Be surprised how good that feels.
Not just...
You know what? People don't... I mean, it sounds so stupid, but this morning, the traffic was a disaster. So I just, instead of getting angry like I usually do and going, ah, fuck, what I did was I went... about four or five times, and I felt fine. I was like, you know what? Some things you can't control, some things you can.
Why worry?
Yes, let it go. Let it go.
Okay. Well, speaking of breathing, though.
Yes.
And since sleep is quite a common topic of discussion on this show, I've been thinking about, well,
it has become a
it really is
bit of a preoccupation. Yeah,
sounds like
the cult.
The afternoon conversation at the old age home in the corner. Well, I've been trying to get better sleep, even though I think I don't really have much to complain about. So I've downloaded a meditation / sleep easier app.
What, Headspace?
It's called Calm.
Okay, yeah, Calm. The Calm app. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just works up my nerves. It doesn't get me calm.
So it's doing the opposite of what it should do.
Yeah, and I'm like, this voice is meant to sound soothing and relaxing, but actually sounds like the pedophile. No.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, I don't like it.
My two apps were clashing because Calm came up and said, it's time to breathe for a minute and just relax. And at the same time, I got an alert from my other app saying, time to get up and run. Oh. I was like, what do you want me to do? Okay, I know which one I'm
so
choosing.
Confused.
What do you choose? The breathe and relax one.
Well, we had a really interesting discussion yesterday with Leanne's cousin, who is a doctor. And I actually got this from another doctor, Dr. Taryn, who often writes to us. She says, hey, Gareth, I loved Leanne's cousin's interview. We rescued a pig in the Midlands that had an anal atresia. The pig was born without an asshole. He was the size of a kitten when we got him and would vomit at every meal. He had four surgeries, and after his last at 9 months old, he grew exponentially. Emmett the pig got a new asshole but still needed stool softeners every now and then. He had his own stool management program.
Oh, wow.
But he would just shit wherever he was.
Whoa.
Now he's living happily on the farm. And P.S., what is Sia's email address? I have a fun story for him. Well, try Sia, S-I-Y-A. At cliffcentral.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then she attaches pictures of Emmett the pig.
Oh.
Who's a tiny little pig with a cat next to him. So he's a big
I thought you were going to say with a huge asshole.
And then there's the big.
Dr. Taryn's showing
big fat
us.
Pig with a big asshole. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Great?
Well, at least he doesn't have to worry about mistakes happening.
No.
He's out on the grass. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But imagine that. Like, his instinct says eat.
Yeah.
But he's not thinking, nor probably aware of the fact that, well, it's not happening.
Things are going to get backed up, yo.
Well, it seems like today is going to be a follow-up day, since we're following up on the pig based on yesterday's discussion with Leanne's cousin. We're also following up on the Northern Cape being sold to Namibia. The guy who actually suggested that and started a petition is going to talk to us a little bit later on. So we've got lots of stuff to talk about. Unfortunately, for those of you who are huge Michael Jackson fans, no follow-up on Finding Neverland.
No good news there.
No.
I have this bookmarked. I haven't watched it just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But 60 Minutes in Australia has done an interview with one of the helpers who worked at Neverland for a few years.
Oh, yeah?
And she's now speaking out. I've watched like the first, I'll say like 8 minutes, and already I love anything saucy and I am here for it. So, you know, producers like that always love to make TV moments.
Yeah.
And they couldn't just interview her anywhere. They had to drive her back up to Neverland. Like the girl.
Oh, no,
the lady was traumatized. This is a place she hated.
So, I've often thought, you know, a lot of South Africans, and I'm talking about members of parliament, I'm talking about prominent politicians, I'm talking about powerful business people.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to know what's happening in their lives, ask their domestic workers.
Yes.
That's where the real stories are.
These people know everything.
They know everything. They know what's in the underwear drawer. They know where the...
They know what's in the underwear.
They know where the good things happen. They know where the bad things happen. They know what the house looks like after, you know, the 21st birthday party and after the 40th birthday party. And they know.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that, and that's already in the little bit that I've watched so far. So they take her back up to the house and they stand around the fences because it's a private property. You know, you aren't just allowed to go in there. And she speaks of how she first got started, and there's a hierarchy in the team that used to work there. So you don't just instantly work there and get access to like Michael's bedroom.
Yeah.
And she had to earn his trust at first. And she said that there was once a bizarre phone call she had with Michael Jackson, where she was off duty and she was sitting at home, and she just gets a call from Michael. And Michael says to her, "What do you know?" She's like, "What? What are you talking about?" And Michael repeats the question, "What do you know?" like 8 times to almost like break her down. And until she said, "Well, Mr. Jackson, I really don't know what answer you want from me." And then Michael just randomly hung up. And I think maybe that was his way of going, okay, well, I've vetted her out. Maybe she hasn't seen anything unbecoming. And that was when she was progressed to the next level in the hierarchy. That's when she was allowed to now start cleaning his private bedroom. And she didn't really raise eyebrows much to the kids that were at Neverland up until she started cleaning the bedroom. And according to her, she says that that's when she knew that the boys would sleep in Michael's bedroom, but didn't know that they would also share a bed together. Didn't know that then she would find the little boy's underwear mixed with Michael's, or the underwear would be in the jacuzzi, or the underwear as well would also be in the bathtub. So that was her first red flag.
Jeez, so much of underwear. if all of them didn't wear underwear, then no one would have known what had happened.
Leanne, what are you enabling? But I really, it's only just like 8 minutes in, and the entire interview is like 40-something minutes. Oh,
You can't wait to
look,
get into
my
that.
Priorities.
Sia's actually just hoping to get home today so he can
I
carry
need
on
to
watching.
Get out of here.
He's not interested in the. He's not here for the show. He's not here for work today. He's got things to do, but they can all wait.
My mind is elsewhere today.
Jesus.
So talking about stars, did you see that Luke Perry, who obviously wasn't a huge star like Michael Jackson, but an actor of our time, really, was he was the Beverly Hills star.
Yeah.
He died at the age of 52 after a massive stroke.
I thought it was a joke yesterday because someone, you know, obviously I'm of that era now, so you don't expect the kids, the shows that were on when you were a kid, you don't expect those people to be dead yet, but they're dead now.
And dying of so-called old people's diseases.
And Luke Perry was like the heartthrob on TV. I know every single girl I was at school with was in love with him.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, he was this young dude, and then he did another show called River something or another.
Riverdale.
Yeah.
Did you nearly say Riverside?
I never watched that, but I do remember Beverly Hills 90210. It was a hell of a show. It's like the first show where, and remember, there weren't a lot of shows with teenagers in them where the teenagers were the actual stars, and there wasn't a mom or a dad or. It was about them going to school and all the stuff they got up to and their loves and their trials and tribulations, and like Luke Perry was the front man.
Yeah.
Now he's had a stroke at 50. What?
52.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was apparently surrounded by his close family when he died. So he obviously had the stroke, went to hospital, and they said, no, it's not going to happen. It's just quite scary. I mean, he wasn't overweight. Mm-hmm. He looked like a fit and healthy guy. Yeah, it just can happen anytime, anywhere.
Leanne, what does this do with your anxiety and slash?
Oh, it's through the roof right now.
There we go.
I'm
really not making light of
touching up
situation.
My will quickly.
Do you know who also died? Keith Flint, the fire starter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he died yesterday.
Twist the fire starter. Arta, arta, arta.
Nope.
Yeah. You don't know who he is, right? This was massive in the late 90s. Bit of a nutcase. English guy.
A bit of a nutcase.
Just a bit. Seemingly from this video.
Yeah. He had this one and one other song called Breathe.
Yes.
Anyway, he's dead too.
What happened to him?
I don't know. Look it up.
Oh.
I know. I just know he's dead. I don't know any details of it.
Keith Flint, the fire starter, arta. He dead. Looks like the love child of Ninja from Die Antwoord. Some Mick Jagger-ness in there with the dance moves. And then like Ozzy Osbourne.
Also at times like the Joker.
No, who's the dude from Beetlejuice?
Yes. Anyway, he was 49 and he was found dead at his home.
Oh.
And they're looking at suicide.
49?
Yeah. Now, to me, he looked about 47 years older than Luke Perry. And that was 20 years ago.
Jesus, all these people dying.
But in terms of the life he's lived, he was probably 75.
No, he kind of disappeared after.
I mean, that might have just been
1999, 2000. I don't think he really made much impact on the music scene after that. Don't know what he did. Maybe he just went quietly and lived with his wife.
Yeah, so he's an Essex guy. Makes a lot of sense.
Right.
He was married to Mayumi Kai, and was discovered at around 8 o'clock in the morning after police and paramedics were called to the property.
Did his wife call them and go, "Hello, is that the police? There is a fire starter! Twisted fire starter! Arta! Dead on the floor! Dead on the floor!"
Oh, no.
Shame.
Horrible. No, we really aren't laughing. Okay.
No, it's people die, but, you know, again, neither of these are in the death pool because these are kind of minor celebrities, but
yeah,
Luke Perry was a big deal. You always think that people who play teenagers on TV are going to be young forever.
Mm.
You're kind of horrified when you see them hit 50. You're like, what? How can Luke Perry be 50?
Mm.
And then when you hear that he's dead at 52, you're like, no. How's this possible? This makes mortality just seem like it's around the corner.
Yep. When your favorite child star then starts having children as well, you're like, no, what is this?
Well, exactly. Like,
Sabrina, you're meant to be Sabrina in my eyes.
Yeah, the teenage witch, not the old woman witch. Get over it.
Not
you know?
The MILF.
No, shocking.
The MILF witch? No, that's not what I signed up for.
I have some intel that Keith Flint actually killed himself after he split up with his wife.
Oh.
But it might have been a suicide.
That's a little intense, to say the least.
His wife looked very young and...
He looked quite normal towards the end.
Yeah, I think a lot of his stuff was just for the stage, you know.
Sure.
And very ninja-esque.
Apparently the Prodigy were still together and they were going to go on tour. How do you like that?
Oh.
You didn't know that, huh?
In fact, he had performed his final gig in Auckland, New Zealand just last month.
Oh, okay. Well, New Zealand will do that to you. Don't go to New Zealand if you're feeling a little bit...
excuse me, just... You know. Please be more clear on the correlation. What does New Zealand do to you?
Shame Luke Perry, says Anushka. I don't know if I remember correctly, but that Beverly Hills show was dubbed in Afrikaans back in the day.
Ooh.
Ugh.
What was it?
It may have been.
Called 9-0-2-1-0.
Here's some really useful information, not just for me, but for everyone. Hey, Gareth, for your info, make sure you're not in Cape Town this weekend. It's the Cape Town Cycle Challenge. Yeah, that's so annoying. And it's like seeing those Dawson's Crack kids, says someone else.
Oh, yeah.
It means Dawson's Creek.
Yes. Yeah,
I get it.
But it is the same. Katie Holmes just looks abused all the time.
Well, she married Tom Cruise, poor girl.
Anyone, yeah. But so did Nicole Kidman. So that's not an excuse.
Well, that's why their kids hate them.
Morning, Gareth. I googled Afrikaans ASMR last night on recommendation of my daughter for my sleep problems. It did not disappoint. Oh, Lord, cringe. I was awake all night. Have a beautiful day. I'm hitting Cape Town traffic now from Riet. Afrikaans ASMR.
Yeah. Why would ASMR you try that?
ASMR are those videos where they've got those people who...
Yeah, and the mic is super sensitive. The latest ASMR stuff I like is of a golden retriever.
Leanne, what's life?
I don't know where the mic is. It sounds like it's in his throat, and she gives him different things to eat.
And then you have to listen to him eat.
Yeah.
I don't understand this ASMR stuff. I really don't get it. I know it's huge in there. This just proves, ASMR proves that the number of views you have on YouTube is no indication of the quality of your content.
No, definitely not.
If you can breathe deeply, and you're an unattractive person who has a breathing problem, and you can get 50 to 100 million hits, that's not a game I want to participate in. Exactly. Exactly. That's what they do. It's ridiculous.
Just relax.
Yeah.
And eat a pickle. It is so weird.
And all the swallowing.
Oh, yeah. I can't handle the sound of people swallowing. Please don't do it. I don't want to do it.
Leanne, after your 350-50 days, this could be your next chapter in life.
ASMR. I don't know if you've heard, but you know the Jussie Smollett story won't go away either. There was a parody of him on Judge Judy where someone like superimposed his head on one of the Judge Judy cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty funny. You might enjoy this. Just listen quickly. I think this is especially for people who also think that that whole Jussie Smollett thing was just ridiculous. All right, so here
what
it is.
What did you do?
And then I look down and I see that there's a rope around my neck.
No. You know how stupid this is? How people make up these stories? What's wrong with you?
Is
not an answer. You're an idiot.
It feels like if I had said it was a Muslim or a Mexican or someone black.
And it's got Oprah in the
I feel like
Judy
guy. The doubters would have supported me a lot much more. A lot more.
You're an idiot! Then what did...
So it's basically just him in front of Judge Judy. When he says Mexican, then she's got a sombrero on.
Oh, no.
When he says Muslim, she's got like a sheik from Saudi Arabia's outfit on. It's hilarious. Anyway.
Still so unbelievable to me.
Yeah, listen, we've got to get into headlines, so let's not mess around. Let's go straight to those. People have got to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
People want to know what's happening in the news, so let's find out for them. Let's try to make their lives easier and more interesting.
Oh.
That's how Richard Nixon would say it. Okay, so first things first, where shall we go? Do you want to know about the Babes Wadumo case?
Oh, the mess continues.
Did that blow up yesterday.
Ooh. Did, huh? All right, so when we spoke about this yesterday morning, it had just broken, really.
Yeah.
And now singer Bong Gekile Babes Wadumo Smelane has now laid a criminal complaint with the police against her boyfriend, Mampincha. She opened the assault charge against him after a video surfaced showing her being assaulted. Family spokesperson Sakile Langa has confirmed this, saying they will be holding a media briefing at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Today. She's opened a case successfully, but we're giving out more details tomorrow morning. Langa says Simelane is currently at home with her loved ones and that they appreciate the support they've been shown by South Africans.
Well, her father was doing a couple of interviews yesterday, and he's alleging that, firstly, Mampincha has always been abusive. Mampincha has been almost holding babes captive in this relationship for the longest of time.
I do have to say it's very difficult for me to take all of this seriously with names like babes and Mampincha.
Direct translation, by the way, Mampincha, the root word of Mampincha is mpincha, to push someone in.
Oh, right.
Or to push something in. So,
oh, wow.
You can't take him seriously even more.
No, exactly. But babes, you know, it's just hard. So I think in this case, they got to refer to her by her real name. Anyway, so here's the father, Babes Wadumo's father, talking about Mampincha.
I'm a Zulu man. I know there is some muti that he's using. My daughter once found something under the bed that is like a doll, like a baby, with some strings and some mooty around that thing. And my daughter was not well. I prayed for my daughter, and another prophet that I don't want to mention, he helped my daughter because of that. Mandla is using that mooty.
Sure. So okay. There's a huge amount of superstition and crazy going on in that family. Sure. Now there's mooty involved, and there was a doll under the bed. I mean, this is the kind of shit that would have got you burnt at the stake in 1600.
And there's a prophet.
Yeah, and then there's a prophet, and some people really believe that this stuff exists and that this is what makes them sick or makes them unlucky or makes them unhappy. Or, I mean, really what we've got here is just a guy who doesn't know how to control himself, and he takes out his anger and his insecurity and his problems on his girlfriend. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Sometimes you don't never attribute to supernatural powers or manipulation or clever devices what you can attribute to ignorance. It could just be that he's ignorant.
Or actual chemicals and drugs.
Yeah, he could just be an abusive son of a bitch. He could just have massive emotional and psychological problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be enough. Mm. You don't have to be looking for mooty and dolls under the bed.
Especially when the family, well, the father at least, admits that once Mampinja has hit babes in front of a family member.
Yeah. Here he is telling that story. Yeah. Listen to this.
He once slapped my daughter, punched my daughter in front of my only son. And my son could not eat for a week the way Mandla was kicking my daughter.
When was this, Reverend?
It's not too long. And my son told me that, Daddy, I've got a problem. I saw Mandla in front of all other dancers. If they can be, somebody can call them, they can come and witness that. Mandla is abusing my daughter.
Yeah, well, did we have to wait for this now? I mean, if I heard this and I was the father, I'd say to her, listen, honey, you got to come home. Come to us. You can't stay with a man who's abusive. Now, suddenly, because it's in the news, he's talking about it. Anyway, look, I was not to reason why.
Mm.
Yeah, well, he was bringing up so many other things as well, sure. Saying that because their personal relationship is so toxic, their working relationship is also so toxic, he believes that Babes is in a horrible contract as well. According to the father, Babes, who was featured, one of the South African artists who was featured on the Black Panther soundtrack, wasn't paid for that. And there were so many deals that they did with, like, endorsement deals, etc., etc., that Mampinja took money from that and didn't pay Babes enough. So, yeah, the father's on a bit of a...
This whole thing is just such a mess. Like, you can tell the whole outfit was just run by amateurs. Like, there's no proper contracts, there's no management in place. I know that they often had gigs where they wouldn't arrive on time. It's just a mess. It's a mess. It's amateurish. Anyway, we leave it alone. I feel sorry for her. I hope that it gets sorted out, and I hope he goes to jail for abusing her.
Yeah.
Boom. Let's end this. It's kind of ridiculous. So he's a pastor, is he, the father?
Mm.
Okay, well, from one pastor to another.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Because Pastor Elf Lukau, who's the guy who... resurrected that man, supposedly dead in the coffin, and he got up. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, the worse the economy, the bigger religion gets, because people become desperate. Like, I can't solve this thing. Practically, I have too little money coming in. I have too many expenses going out. The only way I can make this better is to put my faith in God and to hope that there's a miracle. And there isn't going to be. But these people are desperate, and so they'll fall for stuff like this. Obviously fake resurrection. So he says the media are responsible for the disaster around this.
All right.
He has boasted about the publicity he received from all over the world, but a video emerged recently which appears to show the resurrection miracle. A man sits up in the coffin after the pastor prayed for him. Lukau has been widely criticized with the police and rights groups now investigating. However, last week the pastor said he had noticed the man breathing, but he told congregants on Sunday there was still a miracle that took place. He used a significant amount of time during his sermon to explain the meaning of miracles. The reception was warm and church members shouted amen to every statement.
Amen.
Lucas says miracles go beyond what humans consider normal. Even if you brought a dead body and laid the body on the altar, you call on God and God will heal the person. Mm. The crime should be that you kill a person, not that you brought a person back to life. He's confident the backlash his church is facing will pass. A number of investigations are underway into his conduct and a case of fraud has been opened. No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid what's going to happen here is he'll get away with it, because in religion, you can get away with anything. Because people are dumb enough to believe that religious people have special powers. Or they use muti, or whatever other bullshit they've got going through their heads. It's kind of childish and ridiculous to those of us who know that this is nonsense. But to average people who are desperate and who are credulous, they'll go with whatever you throw at them. Which is why they're in the miserable situation they're in, because they believe dumb stuff. Anyway, another employee has said there is no protocol that's being followed in Eskom. So Eskom's treasury official, this is at the State Capture Commission. The treasury official, a guy called Sinkedi Leshweni, has corroborated evidence by the power utility's treasurer that former executives Anoj Singh and Sean Moritz signed off on the controversial Huarong deal without proper processes being followed.
What's Huarong?
Well, what's Huarong? There's nothing wrong with this deal. The power utilities chair, Jabu Mabuza, previously told the commission that Eskom would not be paying the $25 billion that they owe to Huarong. In 2017, they received the loan from a company to build or refurbish power stations, but the deal led to the power utility incurring a signature fee to the tune of 400 million rand. Oh, there was a lot of money being pissed away there.
So glad when I wake up in the mornings and I'm not involved in these messes.
Imagine owing 400 million rand or even 25 billion rand. Right? And then this is amazing. I thought Zambia was on the road to getting their shit together. But it seems another one of our northern neighbors is sinking further into banana republicanism. Zambia's broadcasting regulator on Monday ordered a one-month suspension of a TV channel that has been critical of the government, just days after the governing party accused the station of bias and unprofessionalism. Established 7 years ago by a former cameraman at the state-owned Zambia National Broadcasting Corporation, Prime TV has been openly condemned by the government. The Independent Broadcasting Authority resolved to suspend the license with immediate effect for 30 days. I mean, do the governments in these countries not get that we can see right through it? That it's not about that company behaving badly, it's about them getting in the way of government, and government not liking to be criticized. During the suspension, the station is expected to conduct in-house training in basic journalism.
Oh.
As if there's a problem with that.
Yeah, because that's going to fix everything.
Is that the real problem?
I wish these guys would realize that this isn't Soviet Russia in the 1960s, when they all trained in Soviet Russia in the 1960s. Soviet Russia has fallen down. What chance do you have with totalitarianism in your shitty banana republic? Stupid, 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 coming from Zambia. And then finally, I think this might be interesting. The Vatican is to open its archives of World War II's Pope Pius XII in 2020. Very controversial pope, this. Pope Francis announced on Monday that the Vatican will open the secret archives of Pope Pius XII in March next year, which could shed light on his actions during World War II.
Does it take from now until March next year to open them?
Yeah, because
there's lots of keys.
Such a lot of keys. Researchers have long sought to examine the archives to discover why the Pope did not intervene more against the Holocaust perpetuated by the German Nazis, an attitude denounced by Jewish groups as a form of passive complicity. I have decided the opening of the Vatican archives for the pontificate of Pius XII will take place in March 2020, the Pope said. The date is the 81st anniversary of the election of that man to the papacy.
Oh, that's why they're waiting.
The church is not afraid of history, said the Pope, recalling that Pius XII found himself as the head of the Roman Catholic Church at one of the saddest and darkest moments of the 20th century. Francis said he made the decision, confident that serious historical research would evaluate, in the proper light and with the appropriate criticism, the praiseworthy moments of the pontiff and, without any doubt, also moments of serious difficulties, of tormented decisions. For many historians, Pope Pius XII could have condemned more forcefully the massacre of Jews by the Nazis, but failed to do so out of diplomatic caution and to avoid putting Catholics in danger in occupied Europe.
Tough times.
Oh, I wish I had made a time capsule.
Why, so you could go back?
From 20 years ago.
No, yeah, just to find what I deemed important, 20 years ago.
But Sia, you're only in your early 20s. You can use that app called Your Brain to remember the things that you enjoyed a few years ago.
You have an app called Your Brain?
That's what my psychiatrist told me.
Do I download it from
the app store? She said, I'm so tired of these people coming to me with all these meditation apps. And she says, I tell them, your brain is an app. Do you know what it can do?
Jesus. Unbelievable.
Well, my app needs a hardware reboot.
I need to add one story to the five things.
Sure.
Make it
the six things for today.
I saw this last night. Couple has sex in public while friends in Melville cheer them on. That's where I live.
Oh, this happened near your house.
It happened a block away from
me. Was it you?
What? No.
Was it a man?
This just explains when I
was
say...
Was it a woman?
It was a whole lot of people.
Oh, it wasn't a sheep, was it?
So many questions. Okay.
What happened?
And this explains why when I say I didn't sleep last night because there was so much noise, people literally go crazy in the streets.
No.
Alcohol's too cheap, obviously. I don't know where people have got so much money to get this fucked every
single
night.
Syntax isn't a problem.
But yeah, they were just against a wall. It was being filmed.
Wait, people were having sex against a wall?
Yeah, there was one couple that was kissing. And the other were
nubbing.
Someone filmed this.
Yeah, their friends filmed it.
Are these? I can't see clearly. Are these young kids?
They're like students. You know, Melville is like a student village.
So in their 20s.
So two couples are having sex against a wall, and then.
I don't think their friends filmed it. I think it might have been somebody who's complained.
And then someone is just cheering them on, thinking, "Yeah, this is
great."
Girl.
Yeah.
Mm.
Huh? How do we like this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, what can you do?
What do you mean, what can you do? They are so... Firstly, it is...
Well, actually, there is a public petition. It's gone further. The Melville Residents Association and specifically MSI, Melville Security Initiative, the Land Use and Liquor Portfolio Committees... they've all sent out a letter saying, we require your urgent attention to escalate matters relating to public safety, health, security, compliance, etc., and the liquor laws.
Yeah, we already have enough laws. You can be arrested for public indecency.
Yep.
You can be arrested for being drunk in public, drunk and disorderly. So we've got the laws. They've just got to be applied.
Yeah. According to the South African Sexual Offences Act 23, any person 18 years or older who in public commits any act of indecency with another person shall be guilty of an offence. Should the couple be identified, they will receive a fine of not more than 4,000 rand or face imprisonment for a period of not more than 2 years.
So if you want to have sex in public, you can pay 4,000 rand.
Or go to jail for 2 years.
No, never mind.
No, never mind.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Rather keep it in the house. How about that?
Damn.
Is that right round the corner from your house?
One block away.
Imagine.
If you look on Google Maps, it's quite scary how close it is.
Mm. Could you hear them?
Yeah, I heard everything.
So at first you heard what? Just the cheers. The cheers and the screaming from people.
See, you need to understand what the suburb sounds like at night. It sounds like a nightclub, the whole place. People in the streets... Screaming. And so drunk and falling over and fighting and running and chasing and hitting and stealing bags and
this is it.
Fighting more and then having sex against the wall. That's what goes on the whole night.
We're both trying to be sympathetic to you, but this is very... It's very entertaining.
I'm really trying to understand.
All right. Okay, Blind History. You know Blind History, right? We're on to episode 4 today.
Yay.
It's a crash course in getting to know history's greatest men and women, and by great, we don't always mean good. In the series, hosted by me and by Anthony Medera from Taylor Blinds, we will tell you the stuff that the history books sometimes leave out. The sordid stories, the less well-known details, some of the stuff they didn't teach you at school. Don't miss episode 4 today, looking at the life of England's greatest medieval king, Edward III. Go to cliffcentral.com for the Blind History series brought to you by Taylor Blinds. You can download the whole thing and binge listen. Or if you want to, you can listen to it one episode at a time. It's all available on cliffcentral.com. And today's episode is one of my favorite people in history.
Mm.
Yes, and there are more exciting ones to come. Here's Sia with Said by Sia.
This morning's story had Leanne and I, we were just discussing it before the show started. It had us a little confused.
Yes.
But the more we found out about it, the more our hearts really became soft from it. There's a new cyber star in the works, and it's quite an unlikely character. Usually you hear of like these hot YouTubers, these cool YouTubers being like 12-year-old. Well, picture this, a 42-year-old school principal, and you'll find out why, and I think it's quite cute. Mm-hmm. Her name is Belinda George, and she's a principal of Homer Drive Elementary in Texas in the United States, and dealing with a school that has more than 94% of kids coming from broken homes, she decided, yes, she has the impact to positively change their lives during school hours, but what can she actually do once the kids go home? That's when she thought of Tucked In Tuesdays. This is a new tradition of hers that she started recently to make sure that she gets to read her school pupils' bedtime stories every week. And I think it's quite cute. So she goes on to Facebook Live, and this shows how even more determined she is. Belinda will sit in her own pajamas, Nochal, and she'll film herself with a book, and she'll read to all of her pupils. And so far, as she started this, actually, she, you know, she'll read the book, and she'll also encourage pupils to also ask questions on Facebook Live and for them to also read along with her. And she said she's noticed an improvement in her students' literacy and also reading comprehension scores. And this is all thanks to the weekly Tucked In Tuesdays. But funnily enough, she just thought it was going to be this tiny thing where it was just her own schooling environment. But now people are actually really loving this from all over the world. So you can just search Tucked In Tuesdays and you can listen to her read you a bedtime story every single week. I think this is a better trend than random ASMR happening.
I agree with
yes.
you. Very good.
Yes. Belinda says that the bottom line is, I love kids. I know if I don't reach them outside of school, I may never reach them in school. Well, Belinda, I think this is your own different way of making sure that your kids' lives are changed, and you really are doing that. So kudos to you.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Tucked In Tuesdays. It's very sweet, actually. That's your said by Sia for this morning.
When Sia first told me, I pictured this old male principal and his wife, Peter, sitting reading stories to kids on the internet.
That would
sound a bit dodgy.
That would be very dodgy.
Well, let me tell you about that cute Goldilocks now.
All right, it's just before 7 o'clock, and we'll get to the rest of the show and a couple of the interesting stories in the news that I think you're going to like. Leanne has got some exciting stuff for you, but I thought this is interesting. So in the Daily Mirror, which is a publication that sometimes tries to, I don't know, they try to make it seem like they're one of these social justice publications. They've written a story about married lesbian couple are now husband and wife after one became a man.
Okay. You see these things.
All right, so think about this carefully. Lesbian couples, it's two women who are lesbians. Then they become a married husband and wife because one of the lesbians has a gender transition into a man. So please, can we start calling these things what they are? Because what's happened here is either the husband went from gay to straight or she's still a woman. You can't have it both ways, because either sex is set or sexual orientation is a choice, in which case born this way is not true. Do you understand?
I'm still digesting this.
Okay, yeah, so I know. It's hard. Get your head around this.
Two women.
I promise you, like, we say LGBTQ, but actually the T and the G and the L don't get along at all. They disagree fundamentally on the basis of gender and sex. Fundamentally. Because gay and lesbian people will tell you they were born that way.
Mm.
You're born gay or straight. You're born lesbian. You're born, you know, whatever your sexual predilection happens to be.
Yes.
And that is a natural thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you will be trans people who will say, yes, but sex is fluid. Gender is fluid. And they can't both be true.
No.
Because otherwise you would be able to go, I'm gay today, I'm straight tomorrow. I'm straight tomorrow, I'm gay today.
And because you weren't born that way.
Right.
You were changed into this way.
So can we please decide what the definitions are so that we can start treating each other in a respectful, decent way? Because otherwise it feels to me like a lot of people with mental illness are just making shit up. And that's not me being unkind. That's what it looks like to any objective alien who lands on planet Earth. If you land on planet Earth and you see people behaving like this, lesbian couple, mm-hmm. two women who are into each other, they're lesbian, they're loving it, they're having a great lesbian relationship. Then one of them says, I'm going to transition into a man.
So the other one, the other one
is changing their sexual orientation and the other one is changing their gender.
No one changed their sexual orientation.
Yes, the one woman is now with a man. He's transitioned from a woman into a man. So
where she was interested in vaginas, she's now interested in penises.
Well, this is why.
And either we've got to admit.
To start to hurt from
exactly
this.
Exactly.
This is why some people say, well, how do you define gender? How do you define sexual orientation? Y'all, it's just not what I signed up for.
It looks like people are just, honestly, to an objective observer, it looks like people are just making this up for attention or because they have mental illness. It really does. It's hard to be sympathetic in a case where the headline in the Daily Mirror is, married lesbian couple are now husband and wife after one becomes a man.
Mm.
Well, I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of the one who didn't transition.
Yeah.
That's not what you signed up for.
Correct.
And then how does the conversation happen?
Correct.
But really, one of the first...
And how do you expect everyone else to take you seriously? Like, I believe when someone says to me, I am gay, or I am straight, or even if I'm bisexual, I say to them, fine, I can get that, I can get my head around that. That's absolutely 100% sure. I will treat you the way that you expect to be treated, with respect and dignity, because that's the choice you've made in life, or that's how you were born, or whatever. Not a problem. I'm not looking to offend anybody. Mm. Same goes for transsexual people, transgender people. You start off as a man, but you feel like you're a woman trapped in a man's body, so you go through the operations, you transition, and then you want me to call you a woman. And that's fine. I can do that too. But here, I don't know what to do.
So
because you're expecting everything and the kitchen sink. One of you changes your sexual orientation when you have told me you're lesbian, because now you're in love with a man. Because he's transitioned, because he changed his gender. Do you understand?
Okay, so imagine, take the sex out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine they're just a couple who love each other.
Right.
And they don't love each other because they're women.
Yeah.
They love each other because they love the person.
Okay.
So if you take sex out of it completely, then it's kind of okay. Because
absolutely.
What the one person has done with their body doesn't have anything to do with the sexual
absolutely.
Orientation.
Absolutely. I have no problem with that either. But then don't make it about the genitals then.
Mm.
Then let's stop doing that. Let's stop making it about whether or not someone has this equipment or that equipment.
Mm.
And let's stop making it about how you are attracted to someone with that equipment or that equipment. Then you're not gay and you're not bi and you're not trans and you're not any of those things. You're just a person in love with a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't work for me like that. There's a lot of people who say, no, I'm attracted to the person's soul. Well, as soon as the soul has a kichi kichi aya, not for me. So I don't know. And I respect that. And really, the reason why I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of the one, because I'm saying it again, that's not what I signed up for. So how does that work for you? What I was going to say is one of the first voices, even pre-Caitlyn Jenner, who was like a big trans activist, was a man who was married to a woman and they were in love. And I think they were married for 11 years mm-hmm. as a straight and male-female couple.
Right.
And the man transitioned. And The wife stayed. They say they are, and they're still married. They're in an amazing, amazing relationship. They've raised kids. The kids are in college. I don't know if I could have done the same.
Maybe they decided.
By the way, what is Caitlin's sexual orientation? Is Caitlin a straight woman or a lesbian woman?
She hasn't publicly announced that, nor publicly dated.
Why, but is she ashamed?
I don't know. But she's been spotted with younger models. So that's
women
kind
or
of
men?
The thing. Women.
Oh.
Mm. Like catwalk models.
So
like
she might
super
be
hot.
She might be a model. Straight woman.
No, she's a lesbian woman.
I can't anymore.
Caitlyn Jenner is a woman
course, yes.
who likes
yes.
who see, seemingly likes women.
See
so she's a lesbian.
This is too much. It's too much work.
So hard.
And that's this is why people are bound to offend someone at some point. You cannot call someone transphobic if they get this stuff wrong. Please, it's too complex.
Well, this
I
is,
don't think I'm a stupid person, but I'm completely confused. I just had Sia explain something to me, which was from when he explained it fairly obvious. But I needed it explained to me.
Mm.
Like a maths equation with integers that go into
yes,
the negative.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like.
Jesus.
I'm just keeping...
Holy mother of God.
I can only control what's in my pants.
Yeah, and you know what? Really yeah, let's all
and
just,
can you?
Let's all just aim
sometimes
to do that.
Sometimes I can't, Leanne.
Let's just try to do that. How about it? Okay, when we come back, loads of good stuff in the news. Stick around for that and more.
This is CliffCentral.com.